Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's that time again, folks. Time for the world famous motion picture retribution power hour, presented to you by the illustrious Evening Brothers. Take it away, band.
Welcome to the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour, presented to you by the illustrious Evening Brothers. I am Brother Lincoln.
I am Brother John, and that scared the shit out of me.
And I am Brother Preston.
This podcast is one where we force each other to watch a bad movie, and then we talk about it. It's called the Retribution Power Hour, specifically because we really conceive of all these movies as punishments for each other, because, you know, you both have been, you know, bad boys, and so you deserve this.
I've been a bad, like, bad boy, Lincoln.
Just like the Billie Eilish song, you are both bad boys, duh. And so yes, that the famous Billie Eilish song, Bad Boy.
Yeah.
You're a tough boy, like it really rough boy. And I have kindly requested today that each of you boys watched Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
I don't know if it was kindly.
It wasn't. This is my thing, though, is that sometimes we punish each other. We really do. Lincoln, you drink that whole fucking glass in a sip. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I drink it because I really enjoy it.
He's chugging it. Okay, anyway, this didn't feel like... Sometimes we do punishment, and it's like, it's punishment. Like, we have done something wrong, and we deserve this punishment. This just felt like we have inconvenienced you in some way, and you've chosen this for us.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, as I was watching the movie, there's, like, in my notes, I have all these, like, it just says, like, competent, and there's a question mark. Like, was that, like, fine? Wait, was that okay?
It was all right. Like, it wasn't good, but it wasn't terrible.
You know what? I am so glad that both of you have brought that up so that I don't have to, because, yeah, I fully agree. It was not...
Oh, good. Okay.
Not terrible.
I was really afraid I was going to say that, and you guys are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, yeah. I think we all went through the exact same moment of, like, wait, is this fine? I think it was... We probably went through the same thing when we watched Wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Except Wanted, I feel like there were more things that I was like, oh, this is good. I like this.
Yeah, I think Definitely. Wanted kind of turns around for you. Like, you like push, there's something on the other side of the 2000s stank.
Yeah.
This one doesn't really
this
have
one
anything.
Kind of rides the wave.
Like, just kind of rides the wave. Okay, so this is Lara Croft Tomb Raider starring Angelina Jolie. It was made in 2001, I think.
Yeah, 2001.
So firmly, firmly, firmly planted in the 2000 stank era of action movies.
Yeah, this is like, and clear, boy, that it was made in the late 90s and then
released
it came out in 2001.
In the 2000s. Yeah. And I think I'm going to just say, like, my best description of the movie is a fast-paced movie with nothing to say, but it does you the favor of not trying to say anything.
That's true. It never even attempts to wave its hand at anything.
You just kind of, it just, like, it sees an idea go by and it's like, oh, wow, like, what, that idea? And he doesn't even stand up to, like, approach the idea.
No, it's at no point. Lincoln, you have a job right now that I don't envy, because I just watched this movie and I have no concept of what happened in it. So you get to explain to us what this movie is actually, what goes on in this movie.
This movie is a cool 90 minutes and it just, like, washes right over you. There's, like, there's no center to the narrative where you're like, okay, the movie has begun. It just, like... It keeps cutting randomly, like, to different locations.
Yeah.
It's, like, every exposition scene that lasted longer than 4 seconds, they were like, no, skip it, cut it. We don't need to know that.
That's too much. Yeah.
And it was cut, so, like, the cutting really does make the movie feel really fast, and you really don't have much to complain about. But it also, like, was there a two-hour cut of this movie that had an identity?
That was legible on some level.
Yeah, that was...
I do appreciate that this movie does very little world building and just throws you straight into it and gives zero fucks on the way.
If you're, like, prepping yourself, if you're going into a movie and it doesn't introduce you to the idea that rocks might come alive and try to kill you in this movie, then you assume it won't. Like, you assume that that's not possible in this. And this one's just like, no, it is. Why didn't you think it was?
No, idiot. Like, fuck
stupid,
you. Rocks
dumbass
can't come alive.
Bitch.
Yeah, this, I feel like one of the problems, if you've ever played any adventure game, like a Nathan Drake or a Lara Croft, you know, one of, when you run into a cutscene, it's almost always like, ugh, we have to like get this story out of the way. But this is a movie, which is ostensibly one very long cutscene, but it is somehow all gameplay.
It skips the cutscenes.
Yeah. It's like if you played Lara Croft and skipped all the cutscenes, and also you were a speedrunner and you knew exactly how to like exploit every map to like get to the end really, really quickly.
Yeah. What happens in this movie?
We start with Lara Croft in a very extremely Indiana Jones like room.
Yeah.
Climbing down a rope, and she's upside down. You know, great athleticism on display here. And then
great
athleticism,
shorts.
John.
Shorts also on display.
Shorts on display, guns on display, magazines on her hips.
Is that what we're calling them? Her magazines? Okay, yeah, her magazines are on display. Her magazines seem a little padded in this movie, but that's just me.
Yeah, it feels like she has too many bullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like more bullets than you think would be able to fit in one magazine. John, I hate you.
Like, you
was,
walked
there's
right
like literally
into that
one thing that I was hoping to not have to think about or talk about in this.
That's
discussion.
Your fault for choosing a Lara Croft movie.
Seriously.
I guess it's fair. You know, while we're talking about Lara Croft as you know, an objectified character,
sure,
it actually is less sexual than I was worried it was going to be.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Lincoln. I have a note here that is one of the three things I wanted to bring up. So I'm sure maybe we'll talk about it. You know what? We're just going to talk about it right now. This podcast is no rules,
go
just
for
right.
It.
The thing that I wrote is I can't quite put my finger on why, but this movie feels like it's trying to convince a friend it's not asexual. Like it feels to me like it's it is an asexual film, and it's like, no, this is hot, though. And every once in a while, it's just like, no, she's in the shower. That has to be hot.
She's in the shower from the shoulders up. But all you can notice is that it's the most water you have ever seen
it's
in a shower.
So much water, and she looks like she's a fish. She's just drowning.
I was, like, so jealous of Angelina Jolie right there that she got to take such a luxurious shower. It's like, I wish
incredible.
That my shower had that much water.
Same
all the time.
With Daniel Craig, by the way, later in the movie. He also has a
Daniel
very
Craig takes
just, like,
a shower.
Radically wet shower. So, I wish my utilities bill was strong enough, was verbose enough to hold that kind of power.
That kind
amount
of
water.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's got an Angelina Jolie shoulders up, like PG-13 shower scene, and then a waist up Daniel Craig shower scene.
Right.
With, like, presented in almost the same way.
And she's got, like some tight t-shirts on. But beyond that, it's not, like, nothing really happens. She even, like, gets her shirt wet at one point, and she, like, clearly has a bra on. Like, there's not a lot of elements in this movie, which surprised me.
No.
I'm very happy about that because I was worried.
Yeah,
2001,
I was
like, this could be rough.
But this movie, it's like just as horny for Daniel Craig, and it's just as horny for like jumping a motorcycle off a car and then using a machine gun to shoot down a guy.
And by that, you mean not horny at all. Like, this movie is horny for nothing, and that's maybe
my favorite action. So anyways, we start with Lara Croft. She's in a tomb. She's trying to get the idol or whatever. Then she gets attacked by an awesome dubstep robot.
Well, a dubstep robot. That's awesome is kind of a claim.
Oh, I think it's awesome. And that's where we first see, I think, the biggest problem of this action is that it is so idiosyncratic of the 2000s in that there are so many cuts.
Oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
You know what's good for momentum? Cuts. Like, you know what really makes a punch land? When you cut right before it lands. Like, there's... And it's clear, like, this wasn't... You know, we didn't have the CGI technology to fake so much of this, so it's clear that actually they got a surprising amount in camera, and they literally just decide not to show it to us by cutting away from the action all the time.
Yeah, it's not like a wanted situation where they just couldn't, like, figure out how to get the guy to do the thing. Like, she's... I don't know if it's her, but her stunt double probably is doing some incredible stuff.
yeah, there's amazing things happening on screen, and there's like, what if we cut? What if we cut away from it? What if we cut? What if we cut? What if we cut?
But see, if they didn't cut all the time, they wouldn't have enough time for the excessively slow, grainy, slow motion shots that also occur in the same scene.
That's what it is.
It either has to be too fast or too slow, and there is nothing in between.
It's too many cuts or two frames per second. That's what you get.
Well, it's interesting. The cut rate and the frame rate had to be exactly the same throughout the movie. So they either achieved it by cutting at least 24 times per second, or at least, you know, 10 times whatever, or slowing the frame down to that speed.
Ah, that all makes sense for sure.
So even through all this cuts, you somehow get this impression of a fairly well choreographed basic action scene with one cool moment, which is where she knocks the big rock over and jumps off of it and it lands on the robot, which really is emblematic of a video game. And I was like, oh, I think that's like a faithful vibe. And then she, it is revealed that it's all been a training program.
The thing we were all worried about when this scene started is that it might not be real.
And so it's a training program, and it's Charlie Bucket's dad from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has been making robots, really just however he can make money after he got fired from the toothpaste robot machine.
What an extensive career.
And he's like, oh no, you shot my robot. It's dead now. And then that never comes up again. No. Don't worry about the robot.
No, it does.
The robot's not important.
It comes up at the very end. This is a very critical scene.
All right. I mean, it shows up at the end.
I'm trying to even remember what that last scene is, but we'll get to it. Don't worry.
We'll get to that.
Then we cut to the said shower scene that we've been talking about. And then, with literally no context at all, we cut right to Venice, Italy. And there's a bunch of people in a room talking about the planetary alignment. And this is the first time that I kind of appreciated such a lack of anything, any exposition in this movie at all. Because they're just like, oh, the planets are going to align and you better get your shit together, dude. And he's like, I know. And you're just like, oh, okay. I think I get it. But, and then don't worry about it because it cuts again. I think it's the Illuminati. Then we cut back to Laura, and her butler says something about how sand gets everywhere, which almost sounds like a prequel reference, but it's not because it was made before that.
I think the prequel references that.
That's what I was going to say. Is there any chance that the prequel is like, man, do you guys remember that Lara Croft movie?
I don't know. I think the editors of the Lara Croft movie could have improved Attack of the Clones quite a bit if they had their trigger, their itchy cut fingers on their legs.
That's going to be the name of my film studio.
We get...
I hope not.
One itchy cut fingers. I can imagine your logo already, Preston. It's not pleasant.
It is almost impossible to look at.
It's like, it's a euphemism for something, but no one can figure out what.
It, very rarely do they get Eli Roth to make a logo, but it's impressive that they did.
So she's like, my dad died today, 10 years
it's
ago.
It's never a good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never a good day when your dad dies that day.
It's never a good day when it's your dad's death anniversary.
Which is, again, just something just completely assumed, like we're all familiar with. Oh, of course, it's the 15th. Duh.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
And while this is happening, this is the next thing, the next like aspect I wanted to bring up. Does the score kind of slap? Is the score kind of awesome?
Most of the time.
Surprisingly good.
During this scene, there's like this muted like horn bassoon thing playing.
Very good.
And it's like very cool and kind of mysterious, and like I could have just listened to it by itself. Anyways, turns out her dad is John Voight, making her canonically siblings with Nicolas Cage in National Treasure.
Wait. I knew National Treasure was going to come up at some point.
Wait.
No, not canonically. I mean, Preston
no.
Knows the word canonically.
Lincoln, I know not canonically, but...
That's no, I really... think it's actually important that it is canonical.
No,
that,
I have elevated this movie so much by comparing it, by telling me that this could have existed in the same universe as National Treasure. This movie is now...
I kind of love the idea of like him leading two separate lives, and when he abandoned Laura on the 15th, she thought he died, but actually he like moved to America to be with his son, Nicolas Cage.
What I love about that is that he's like straight up part of the Illuminati in this, and then he goes over and he's like, I think there might have been Freemasons in the other.
But the thing is he's like has it on good authority, but the narrative just very unkind to his perspective.
Yeah.
Like he really was right because he knew, because he was part of it.
Yeah.
And then she has some sort of dream, and then she pulls a knife in her sleep, which you're like, why did you have a knife? And two, why are you pulling it out? Because the dream was about a trapdoor, not about someone in your room.
Their clocks are scary, okay? There's a ticking. They talk so much about clocks in this movie, and that is knifeable. A
lot of clock talk.
We will learn about how
so much
clock is.
Talk.
Way too, and a lot of
Can
the
that
clock
be a segment
talk
of this
is
podcast?
Way too sexual. Way too
so,
sexual.
It's so weird.
like
the clock talk
shit,
is.
I'm going through my notes. I do not have any sexual clock talk. Did I just not pick up on this? What's
you
going
just
on?
Must not have watched the same movie. Did you watch the sequel? Is there any chance?
Are you talking about when he's like, I love this clock and I love you?
What?
Yeah, that's part
I know
of
what
it.
You're talking about now. Yeah.
Well, that and they're okay, always anyways. Just like the clock is the most important. Oh, I love this clock. Oh, it's got to go right in the center. Oh yeah, daddy, put the clock right there. Oh, that's what they. Yeah.
Yep.
Direct quote.
I've seen. Where did you rent this, John?
What?
How'd you gain access to this film?
It's weird. It was free, actually. It was pretty cool.
Oh, strange. What was it called? What was the full title of it?
Let me see. I think I can I can find it. Hang on. Yeah, it was called Lara Croft Tomb Banger. Oh. Uh-oh.
Wait, that's not what we were supposed
Lara
to
Croft.
Oh, no. Guys, oh, no. Shoot.
And Preston, did you accidentally watch Lara Croft Womb Raiders?
Whoa.
Did you watch Lara Croft 2 Raider colon clock
He's gonna
sex
get it.
I saw Lara Croft and then I saw free and I clicked on it.
I just love how you went into that with so much confidence that you were gonna find it. And then you just didn't. Oh, that was awesome. We're
okay,
like
anyways.
A quarter of the way through this movie. I'm dying.
And the thing is there's not that much
movie
in this movie.
There's not. You can pick up the pace. You can skip through some stuff. I'm sure we'll bring it up later.
I finished a movie and said, you know what? Like, almost every time our main complaint with the movie is that there's too much movie in the movie. And in this, I don't know if that was the case.
There's almost not enough not movie. Enough movie.
Mm. Agree. I don't
almost,
think,
I said.
I think there's just enough. I don't think you could add any more and it would be too much.
So anyway, she finds this clock. Inside the clock is a key that is also a clock. And this key is like the key to unlocking the special power in the only scene of exposition in the whole movie. There's like something about that it connects two pieces of a device that allows you to control time. She brings the clock to a man and the man's like, I don't know about this. Not knowing about it is a pleasurable torment. And I just wrote, that's the name of our podcast.
I hate how accurate that is.
It is.
We have, I think an actually kind of cool action set piece was the trapeze bungee thing in the main big room when she's
extremely
on the trapeze.
Fun.
I was like, if this had been shot better or, you know, had characters I cared about, I would have been very engaged and very interested in this action scene.
Yeah, but it's an interesting setup and an interesting, like, concept for an action scene. It is also kind of ridiculous. I know that she's super rich, but, like, what... Why do you have that? What are you getting out of that?
Awesome bounce time. Like, if you could afford to just, like, put a giant, like, bungee set in your house, like, why wouldn't you?
I mean, I guess I would. I suppose I would. That's true.
The bad guys raid her house. She takes him down. There's a fun scene where she jumps a motorcycle off of a car and then uses a machine gun and shoots from the motorcycle and hits a guy.
She also,
which
she
was kind
of
fun,
like kicks the shit out of a guy with the motorcycle, which is my favorite part of that scene.
That scene's awesome too, where she like spins the back wheel out and smacks him.
Extremely good.
Again, these are all really great. Like, what happens are very cool, and then they shoot it in the most, like, just chopping it up into such small pieces that it's impossible to get a sense of, like, what's happening at any time.
There's two or three things in this movie. The motorcycle hitting a guy is one of the, I think, three that I wrote down. But I just feel like Vin Diesel saw this movie, and on two or three key moments, he just went, I could base a franchise off this. Like, I could really, I could make my
nut on
this.
They were all different franchises.
Nope, it's the same. It's all Fast and Furious.
You know, never mind. Well, you know what, since we're on the topic of Vin Diesel, I started this movie very, very scared that this was going to be a repeat of Triple X. Because 2000 stank.
In what sense?
Very sexual for no reason. 2000 stank. Excessively long.
I do not remember Triple X being very sexual at all.
Lincoln, it's got Vin Diesel. It's sexual inherently. There's nothing we can do.
Go rewatch it.
That's a horny
one source
movie.
Of disappointment is that Angelina Jolie is like a competent actor in terms of like delivering the dialogue and saying all her lines.
Well, like in
which
this?
Is a quality that Vin Diesel sadly just doesn't have.
No, that's very true.
I don't think either of them do in these particular films.
I think she's fine.
Okay.
I don't.
And Daniel Craig's in it. Okay. I need to ask you guys something about Daniel Craig.
He's in it. He's doing the worst accent I've ever heard, but he's in it.
Doing, yes, his American accent. Does it sound exactly like Harrison Ford?
You know what it sounds like? It does not sound anything like Harrison Ford to me. It sounds
Preston's,
to me...
Preston's nodding. He's saying yes.
It sounds to me like a 20s, like an old 30s, 40s movie where somebody's like, well, you know, we gotta go get the thing now. We gotta go see the tomb.
See, I think... Here's
John,
my
that
theory.
Was the best Jimmy Stewart impression I think I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Here's my theory.
We gotta get the tomb, Mary.
They hired Daniel Craig and spent so much money on Daniel Craig not realizing that he couldn't do an American accent and didn't have any budget for a vocal coach. So they just mailed him VHS copies of Indiana Jones and said, here, watch these.
And he thought that he was the main character.
Right, exactly.
So he was there like, wow, wow, Laura, you sure got away about you, but I got to go to the treasure. Oh, no, I've been shot.
Oh, no, you shot me. No.
Also,
I gotta go mollywop him. Oh, no.
And I appreciate...
This is a real humdinger.
That the two of them are meant to have...
Preston, we are inventing a character.
Preston, we're playing a game. We need to come up with a name for him real quick, and then we're gonna do it.
I'm starting to feel Jimmy Stewart in a 2000s action
Jimmy
movie.
Jimmy Stewart.
Like, oh, wow, this car has a parachute on it.
Goodness gracious.
Wow, isn't that neat?
Oh, wow, they got the God's Eye. I gotta go stop them. You're shooting a lot of people, see?
See?
I don't appreciate that.
I came here to kill... nope, never mind.
No,
and you lost him.
Did he die? Did we lose him?
He got shot.
Everyone
yeah.
take a moment yeah, of silence for James.
Took a knife to the chest and fell very slowly into a
well,
pool.
Well, hey,
water.
Hold on, Preston, like a knife to the upper shoulder, please.
Oh, apologies.
But we're going to get to that, Lincoln.
That wasn't a Dune reference, was it?
No.
Okay.
But I guess sure.
They go she gets told to go find the pieces of eight that are going to combine and give her time powers. Just kidding, it's a triangle. And she goes to the first one, and there's like butterflies that like show her what the waypoint is, which that's gotta be something in the game, right?
It has to be. And a child, yeah. There's gotta be something. Have any of you guys played the game, by the way?
Nope.
I've only played Uncharted. I never played Lara Croft.
Fantastic. Okay, so we're all coming into the same. My wife loves these games, so she was like, oh, that's a thing from the game, and I was like, That's a shirt. Like, in what sense?
Wow, that character was a character in the game. That's crazy.
Pretty much her name's Lara Croft in the game, too.
Whoa.
No way.
Wow, Laura, that's a tight shirt you got on there.
Wow, Laura, I love your magazines. Those are incredible.
I'm literally just throwing my notes on the ground because they're not helping it's me fine. Right now.
She finds a temple. They find another temple. Movie over. We're done. Like, is there anything else?
The first temple, he throws the clock to her and she catches it. And then you're like, oh, that was kind of fun.
That was kind of fun. She rides a big, I don't know, thing.
Obelisk. Yeah. Sideways obelisk.
Yeah.
Siege weapon.
They fight a big rock monster. The rock monster is the best part of any of this, right?
The rock monster. Pretty sweet.
Yo. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like a Cambodian, like, statue come to life. I'm into that.
Yeah.
In every conceivable
way. I love crappy CGI texturing from the 2000s.
Oh, it's so good. Any, like, rubbery, gross CGI just speaks to me in such a specific way. It tickles my brain in just the right way.
Yeah. When it's clear that they just had, like, a 2D texture and they're just, like, wrapping it around this 3D
object.
Oh, it's
so good.
I like how in a couple different times in this movie, they have the really, like, weirdly shimmery, like, flowing oil just to prove that they could.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love bad particle effects in CGI, too.
to be like, no, we can do the Terminator 2 thing also. We can do it without James Cameron.
Yeah, we're a regular James Cameron.
Guys.
And then Daniel Craig's like, did someone say James?
Did you say James?
I can steal you the moon, Laura.
I can kick the shit out of that big rock monster.
Can we just ruin it. A brief moment. I'd like to take a poll here.
No, Preston, I'd like to take a pause and talk about him doing a bunch of curses. That's important to me. I'm going to kick your ass.
Really fuck that rock's whole shit.
Sorry, go ahead.
Laura, you're being a real jackass.
I'd like to take a poll here.
Stop being a little bitch, Laura. We got it wrong.
Laura. Holy fuck, Laura. Why'd you visit my house? I just got out of the shower.
I just got out of the wettest shower you've ever seen.
That's my, that might be my favorite reveal of the entire movie. Is first
what Daniel Craig's bare chest
opening the door and scaring the poor maid who's bringing towels. Him turning around, seeing traitor written in steam, and then turning around and seeing Laura chilling there. That is the greatest twist of the entire movie.
That whole scene is actually very good.
It's so good.
And then at the very end where he goes, now I gotta take a cold shower, and then he just like walks back into the bathroom. <You're>
like, Preston, like what was every your time... what was your poll? We cut you off.
So
hear the curses.
Well, it's not well. Okay. It's not gonna be a poll. I'm gonna run you my crazy theory again. Here's my theory. Okay. So Daniel Craig watched all of the Indiana Jones movies, getting ready for this role. And then Harrison Ford had to watch this movie before making the newest Indiana Jones.
to remember what he kind of sounded like.
And then instead of just getting notes, he ended up basing the entire movie off of this movie. Because they're essentially the same thing.
I kind of see that. They are pretty much the same movie, but one of them is less interesting, and that one came out last year.
Right. I was about to say.
I totally agree with you.
Do we all agree that this movie is somehow better than Dial of Destiny?
Can we both agree on that? Oh, it's not even close.
Just the fact that that Lara Croft is 90 minutes long. How long is Dial of Destiny? Like 2.5 hours almost?
You know what else is cool? She can run without breaking all her bones. So that's a thing I like about this movie. Is that our protagonist it doesn't need a wheelchair. Okay, after the first temple, go, we can do it.
She gets healed. She something else happens. She goes to bunch of stuff happens. She goes to the second temple where the bad guys are, and they have almost been successful, but she kind of unites with them and they work together. Then they get into a fight. And Daniel Craig gets thrown under the water. And then in this like very strange like moment of complete abstract surrealism, it switches to this like black pyramid and they're like racing up the side of it all of a sudden.
100%.
And you're like, this doesn't exist in the like time and space of the movie, but I was kind of like there for it. I was like, I'm ready for this movie to get all dream theater on me right now.
Let's get weird.
let's get weird. Like, we're what, 87 minutes in this 90-minute movie? Let's fucking get weird, guys.
I feel like the rock monsters were just there to prepare you for that scene.
Yeah.
As, you know, yeah, because if that
just,
didn't...
To just suspend your disbelief just enough to just barely get your brain where it can... Yeah, I think this pyramid thing is happening right now.
100%. If the rock monsters hadn't have been in this movie, I think I would have like had a heart attack when they just go into the weird French cinema aspect of this movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they race up the Black Pyramid, then she gets the other half, and then she throws her dad's special clock key into a time well,
Link,
and shoots
Link,
it.
Hold, Lincoln said cock. Just everybody know. Everybody go back, scrub it back a couple of... Hit that 15-second mark. Lincoln said cock. That's fun for me.
John, you have to edit this one now so pebble. He can't cut that out.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. This
Can you, like,
mine.
Like, turn up the volume in that spot?
Look, here's what I'm going to do is I'm just actually going to cut out all the words we say, and it's just going to be Lincoln saying cock for, like, a solid hour just on repeat.
She shoots it. There's a little extra stone, which is, like, the final missing piece of the pyramid triangle time control device. And then she gains the ability to control time, and she saves Daniel Craig's life, and then she has to do one more fight with the bad guy, which she wins, and then literally exactly the status quo returns. Nothing about the world has changed.
No.
Exactly how you hope that time travel mechanics are not used in movies. They are simply used to undo the events of the movie and bring everything back to where it was before the movie began.
And then it's impossible again. No more time travel. Sorry. Bye.
And that's the film.
End of movie. There's a robot at the end because she's wearing a dress because she's a woman now. And
she's a woman now. That arc happened on the cutting room floor somewhere.
Yeah, there's one scene where the guy's like, you know, women wear dresses. And she's like, they sure do. And then at the end, she's wearing a dress. And he's like, nice, here's some guns. That's a
here's some guns.
Character development, baby. That is efficient storytelling.
Yes, very efficient. Well, the thing is, they left out the part of the game where you'd enter New Game Plus, and then you'd be able to play that whole game again, but would have that outfit instead
of wearing a dress and a fanciful little hat.
And a fanciful little hat, yes.
I think that was a fanciful big hat.
You're right. That was a fanciful sun hat. All right, that's the movie. We have done it.
We have done the
podcast over. We're definitely not exactly halfway through. I feel like now's a good time to find our funny for a second.
I think it is.
Yeah. Before we dive in, because this is, I say, I think it's
Whoa,
a good
John,
time.
Whoa, John, what the fuck is find your funny?
Well.
What is this fucking shit?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Jimmy. harsh Jimmy.
Harsh
Rude
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I'll give your wife a harsh Jimmy.
Can we have Dirty Jimmy be in all the podcasts?
I
like Dirty Jimmy. He's
If we want this to be sustainable.
All right, I have come up with a game for you two chumps. I have come up with a game that I call, and I'm really proud of this, Tomb Truths and a Lie.
How long did it so there is this a game based on this that joke right there that you wanted to deliver?
That doesn't fucking matter at all, Preston. So I have gone through and I have found some really interesting trivia about this movie. There are two rounds of three possible options. You guys have played Two Truths and a Lie, and I didn't really, you know, I reinvented the wheel by just saying, hey, look, here's a wheel I found. Round one, and you guys can choose to do this as a team or separately if you want. And I'm just going to...
I think we should be a team.
We should what?
Preston was not listening at all. We're doing a podcast right now.
I'm aware. We're on the Find Your Funny segment, Tomb Truths and a Lie.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's a trademark. TM.
Live Preston reaction to the podcast. He's on.
Okay. I'm just going to read them out. Point one, fact number one. Filming the scenes where Lara drives her Land Rover through the jungle, there had to be extensive reshoots due to snakes and other wildlife falling through the open roof. Angelina Jolie was reported to be terrified. Fact number two, Angelina Jolie met and eventually adopted her first son, Maddox, during the filming on location at the Ta Prom Temple in Cambodia. And fact number three, according to director Simon West, the shower scene was very difficult to shoot as Angelina Jolie has many tattoos on her body, which were difficult to avoid filming. That's a quote, difficult to avoid filming. Discuss.
Okay. So, President, I know for a fact, because I read it on Wikipedia, about the Land Rover roof open thing. I know that's true. So we can eliminate that one. So the one that's a lie is either it was difficult to avoid shooting the tattoos, or she adopted her first son while on location for the film.
I feel like it's the adoption one.
You think that's the lie or the truth?
I think that's the lie.
Wow.
I think it's a lie because I don't think I've ever seen a tattoo on Angelina Jolie. I think that's a lie.
You think what's a lie?
That's what I'm going to go with. Wait.
You've seen Wanted, right? This is a movie.
Does she have tattoos in Wanted?
Yes.
She does? Oh, okay. Then the sun thing's a lie then.
It's the sun thing.
That's your final answer?
I'll go with you, Preston.
All right. You guys are correct. It's a fun fact. She did go to Cambodia to film on location at that temple. She did adopt her son in Cambodia, but those were not the same time. She later went back to Cambodia to do some other kind of, I guess, like help work. I don't know. I'm not sure what.
Lara Croft 2. Two Tomb Raider.
Two Lara, two Croft, two Tomb Raider. And she she did adopt her son, Maddox, in Cambodia, but not at this time. So good job. You guys have 1 point. Round two. Fact number one. Barbara Broccoli, co-owner of Eon Films and who are the producers and rights holders of the James Bond films at the time they were anyway. I think they sold them to Amazon anyway. Cites Daniel Craig's role in Lara Croft Tomb Raider as the first time she knew he would be the next Bond. Fact number two, Lara Croft's father was played by Angelina Jolie's real life father. Angelina Jolie's birth name is Angelina Jolie Voight. And fact number three, this film marks the first time in more than three decades that a Hollywood production has been filmed in Cambodia. The previous film was released in 1965.
John, I was like, when you said her real life father, I was like, no way. And then you said it with such authority that I was like, way?
I think that's the lie.
I think it's got to be the lie because he's like more older than her than he would be. Like he's like almost 40 years older than her, I think.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
But I don't know. He also said the name Barbara Broccoli, which sounds like a made up name.
But that's an actual name.
I don't know, Preston. I'm willing to stake it on the John Voight.
Yeah, same.
Saying that's the lie.
You are wrong.
Really?
That's true.
So the lie was that Barbara Broccoli cites this as Daniel Craig's he's going to be the next Bond. That was actually
so
when
Barbara
she saw
Broccoli's
him.
A real person.
Barbara Broccoli's 100% real. She cites some Elizabethan play that he did as
Cowboys
the first time
aliens?
That she knew he was going to be. Yeah, it was Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, that movie that came out in, 2013?
Yeah.
She used the time triangle and traveled forward to Cowboys and Aliens and was like, this man has a past.
This guy's going to be it earlier.
This guy has been a star.
So, yeah, no, that is her real-life father.
Really?
Her birth name was Angelina Jolie Voight.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of sweet, then, that he was in the film.
I think it's wonderful. They gave him a little mustache and everything. I think it's great. There you go. This has been Tomb Truths and a Lie. We don't have any ad sponsors this week, which is sad.
Was that supposed to be a Find Your Funny, though?
Look, Lincoln, we can't... Sometimes find... Okay, here's what's up. Here's the thing. You know what? And I'm glad you asked this, because this is important to address pretty early on in our podcast. Find Your Funny is sort of an amorphous blob of concepts, okay? This isn't like, haha, everybody fucking laugh at the monkey, okay? This is like, we all connect
like
with
John's
ourselves.
Activity minute.
This is a time for the group to
That's also what he calls sex.
This is a time for the group to recenter on ourselves, okay? It doesn't have to be the funniest fucking thing you've ever heard in your life,
John
Lincoln.
Says to his wife, hey, okay? Time for John's activity minute. Come to the bedroom.
Lincoln.
For John's activity minute.
Lincoln, this was purely Lincoln. Done so that John could say tomb truths and a lie to somebody besides his wife. That was the entire reason behind this.
Hey, can I ask you chuckle fucks a question? Did you or did you not laugh at the title Tomb Truths and a Lie?
Oh,
because I'm pretty sure
than your whole little
I'm
comedic
pretty sure
there.
The whole rest
the
of the
history
game.
Will remind you that we all did a little laugh at our Find Your Funny, okay? We all had our little laugh at the monkey. We all laughed at the clown.
In a podcast, in a segment entitled Find Your Funny, we want our audience to chuckle once and then patiently wait for the segment to be over.
Well, you know what, Lincoln?
The goal of Find Your Funny is just to make everything else funnier. So really, anything will seem funny after this unfunny Find Your Funny segment.
I don't appreciate... This is a fun game. Guys, I spent so much goddamn time putting these little facts and writing... Do you guys know how hard it is to write a fact that isn't true? Do you know how hard
that
is?
Hard, John.
And to make
no,
it not,
really
not,
just
that
hard.
Not clearly
you
false?
One detail about it.
You know what, Preston? Next time you can fucking find
John,
your own
this is
funny.
Early,
you can find your own
this
fucking
is an
funny,
early
Preston.
2000s movie. You know how much batshit crazy shit you could say and have it be real?
Not that much, because then I had to match it to the energy of the other facts that I was able to find about this movie, which are not that interesting, Preston. But I was too keyed in to the Find Your Funny Tomb Truths and a Lie segment.
Right.
Okay, think about the fact that this movie was shot on a stage called the 007 stage and had Daniel Craig in it.
Not interesting. That's nothing. I don't appreciate what you guys are saying at this point. You know what? I quit this podcast. You guys suck. I'm going to go do one with just fucking rude Jimmy Stewart. That's just me and him.
It's yeah, just going to be called
you guys are,
Truths and a Lie.
Y'all
don't it's going to be like
you guys
a 4-minute.
Shut the fuck up, Preston. I'm doing my bit. I'm on my own thing now.
It's
gonna
be,
you can't
it's gonna
be
like a
this.
Weekly thing.
Everybody,
all right, everybody.
Everybody,
the
John,
answers
think,
from last week, Tomb Truths and a Lie, or...
Everybody disconnect from the call. I don't appreciate this kind of aggression toward my very best friend, John. I don't like what you're doing here. Well, thank you. Thank you, rude Jimmy Stewart. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to bring that kind of energy to what I think was a pretty good game. You know what? It was a fucking great game, John. I appreciate what you do. These other people are just idiots. Nobody loves them. They're not appreciated in life at all. I agree, rude Jimmy Stewart. You know what? You make some really good points. That's all I'm saying. Rude Jimmy Stewart,
I'm
are you
almost
down
starting
to
think we should stop calling you Rude Jimmy Stewart.
No, it's his name. It's his legal name.
I would just like to
he's
say
right.
That John, you know, you totally could have salvaged this by making fun of Lincoln salvaged for this. Not coming up with a Find Your Funny for his movie, and then you and I could have done this whole bit ganging up on Lincoln. But instead, the early bird gets the worm, Lincoln got to it first, and now him and I get to rip you apart.
Yeah, here's what's cool though.
You cannot
still
defend
two
yourself.
Against one, isn't it, rude Jimmy Stewart? That's right, it is two against one. I totally agree with you in all the things you say.
It's starting to sound like two against two.
Did we find it? Are you guys all? Is everybody
yeah,
satiated with
it.
Their fucking laughter?
I think, I found it.
I think so. I think we've.
You guys are the worst.
I think this. I think we've done it.
I will never forgive you for killing Tomb Truths and a Lie. I'll never. This podcast will never be the
John,
same. There's always
John,
we make welcome. Preston. We may go you're Preston. Welcome. We may go back to being to doing little funny goofs, funny haha goofs. We may go back to that. But you know what? We're never gonna go back to being friends like we were. We're just not. It's just not gonna happen. This
John,
friendship is just never gonna be the same.
We're gonna look back
Tomb
at this
Truths and a Lie
and laugh as friends that Lincoln and I saved you. From making Tomb Truths and a Lie an actual thing.
It's already a thing. I made sure, because I don't know what to tell you.
Right, but not more of a thing. This is not a thing that needs to continue.
It can't get a lot more of a thing. I already booked a Super Bowl spot for next year. Like, that's all my liquid money and more, if I'm being honest. So I don't know what to tell you. You guys co-signed the loan on that. You know that, right? I mean, I forged it, but, well, actually, technically, Ruth Jimmy Stewart forged it, but yeah.
Whatever I say is not admissible in court. I ain't no snitch.
What else do we need to
I won't say about out this to movie. The fucking pigs. People like us, we gotta stick together here, John. You and I, we're all that's left.
Oh, guys, I
and
can't
if you
breathe.
Want to say fuck the law, I say fuck the law.
If I'm going down, you're coming down with me.
Guys, let's go down in a blaze of glory, John.
I want to. I'm horny for it. I don't want to die, but it's just a firestorm of bullets.
I'm feeling a Thelma and Louise ending coming on. Wait, hold on. Do they die at the end?
They walk off into the sunset together, right? I never finished Thelma and Louise. I got about 20 minutes from the end, and I had to go get some more popcorn, and then I was walking in my
store.
Quite
a good family-friendly film, I gotta say.
What a wholesome ending, I thought. I have a bad habit of not finishing movies. I think Lassie ends really, really good, I bet.
Where did that accent just... We just migrated south with it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm rude Southern Jimmy Stewart doesn't finish movies.
It's just now occurred to me that I was talking about Old Yeller and not Lassie. The movie that does end with the dog dying as compared to the movie that does not at all.
Wow, that goof almost made no fucking sense.
We almost lost the plot on this one. I'm glad we brought it back. We definitely haven't ruined the podcast for
so
many
listeners.
I'm glad we
returned to a legible part of this podcast.
It's nice to be on stable ground again.
Yeah, it was real unstable after Truths and a Lie. Well, I'm so glad we found our way back to some stable.
You know what?
Makes sense, ground.
Preston, I know that you're giving me shit about this, but I'm so glad we got you to do the accent.
Did we just like work ourselves back to what his actual accent sounds like in this movie? What Daniel Craig's accent sounds like?
I do declare we did.
No, it's Benoit Blanc now. It's a different Daniel Craig bad American accent.
Oh, man. Find Your Funny never fails. A thing that I wanted to talk about was that I don't think that the Illuminati would buy Walmart LED candles and surround themselves with them. Did you guys notice that?
I did not.
It's a little thing, but it's big to me.
All I could pay attention to is that scene is when she throws the knife at the door, at the chair, and then just goes, slam, Illuminati.
It's very good.
I also like that Laura never actually has to practically throw a knife in this movie, yet she throws several knives in this movie. And the dude who actually has to throw a knife in this movie, I feel like they... I feel like they had him throwing knives and said, oh, you know what?
That must have been funny.
Shut the fuck up.
He had a funny thought right there.
Hey,
I'd love to know what it was.
Mr. Tomb Truths and Alive. They had him throwing
knives. You know what?
Knives,
that was good. I don't know why you're giving
said,
me shit
you know
about
what?
This.
If he throws too many knives where he's going to look too badass compared to Lara, so Lara needs to throw a couple knives. Just
it's
to even
people are
going to want to
watch
out.
His movie. I would watch his spinoff movie.
Tomb Truths and a Lie, you would watch that movie?
Preston, you fucking one more time. I swear. I'll hang up on you.
I love that Preston, like, He started the conversation by saying that that was the only part of the segment that he liked, and now it seems very clear that it was the thing he hated most.
He's really turned a corner on the title.
He's like decided that he hated it, and he's like, okay, time to lean into this.
I need John to keep hearing it, so eventually his brain figures out that, oh, yeah, no, that's terrible. I need to stop.
Guess what, bud? It's never going to happen. I have full control over Find Your Funny, okay? Everybody, all of Find Your Funny goes through me, okay? So
one of us says, I got Find Your Funny covered this week.
And then I go, thank you, I accept this. But I could just be like, no, you don't. It's going to be another Tomb, Truth, and a Lie. And you're going to be like, we're watching a bad Jurassic Park sequel. And I'm going to be like, get the fuck out of here, Preston. My way or the highway, baby. I don't take this kind of slander.
Okay, we're getting we're approaching the sunset of this glorious podcast day, and
is now when we try to tell you, we'll try to guess what was the thing that made you choose this movie.
I was gonna go into homework, which was come up with a reboot of this franchise for me and pitch it.
Oh, I forgot that was our homework. This is gonna be pretty
great.
off the cuff because I also forgot. Okay.
Well, I also forgot that I had this as the homework until this very moment. So, well,
Preston,
I think we're all in the same boat.
Can we take a second?
What,
Preston? I need you to hold on before you get into your thing. I think you and I need a second. Take a second and just find your relationship. I think we need to do our own little side kind of segment of this episode. It won't be long, but I just, are we friends still?
Oh, yeah, we're friends.
You've been giving me a lot of shit about Find Your Funny here. I need us to be on the same kind of zone here, on the same front.
I'm very ready.
Okay, all right, all right. Yep. I'm just making sure. Yep. Okay, all right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Rude Jimmy Stewart, are you on board? Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here, you dumb bitch, piece of shit. All right, cool. That is good for me. That sounds perfect.
First of all, who do we reboot this with?
That's such a question.
I'm half in mind to say Angelina Jolie.
Again? I'll tell you what. Okay, there's two ways we could go, because that is definitely an option. And then it's just like, I mean, she's not old, but like, she's not, you know, young.
That's a good point.
That's an option.
Whoa. Holy shit, John.
Well, because there's two directions we can go. We can go adult, like full-grown adult, or we could go Zendaya. Those are our two options. I think I'm leaning your direction, Angelina Jolie. We do it. I know we were making fun of the new Indiana Jones, but we're not in that territory yet.
Not yet. We're still fine.
You could still believe her doing like athletic things.
How old is Angelina Jolie? She is 40. She's 48. Yeah, we're gonna be fine.
Yeah,
kids, boys, we're gonna be just
fine. She's
48.
I'm trying to figure out somebody like in the middle, if like that's our like spectrum. Something.
Okay,
something.
Oh, okay. I got it. All right. I got it. I know it. I know who it is.
Okay,
Daisy Ridley.
She's great. Yeah, she's already British. That helps us. That helps us. Oh, actually, can I?
She's got the hair. She's got the like face shape. And we know that she can do stunt work.
Okay.
She did it in Star Wars.
Can I throw one more thing your way? Because I just don't, I think that there's a prettier person. Can I throw you Lily?
How dare you?
Can I throw you Lily James?
How fucking dare you?
Yes. 100%.
Lily James, Lincoln? Yeah, me too.
Do I agree that she is prettier than Daisy?
That's not
Ridley?
What I'm asking you. Don't worry about that. We're not rating women. That's a different podcast that we do.
Why'd you say you have a prettier person then?
That's fair. No, but like, okay, as I think a better actor. How's that sound? A better actor. I think she fits the role better. That's more what I'm saying.
I can see that for sure.
Okay, I can be on board.
All right,
I can
Lily
be on board
James.
With Lily
We're
James.
On board with that. Let's cast a villain. Some guy. Some weird-looking guy. Javier Bardem.
Tom
comes
Hiddleston.
To men. Tom Hiddleston is good.
Actually, I think I like Javier Bardem more.
He's good. I mean, he's already in a Bond movie, and these are basically Bond movies, so are we worried about that?
Oh yeah, let's not do that.
Okay,
Tom Hiddleston.
Do we want a female villain? This is the first time. Ooh. Any
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie.
I'm kind of into that now, actually.
I fully support this. She's 48. That's a Hollywood 62. I think that's perfect. We can totally work with that.
And Lara Croft does not begin the movie fabulously wealthy.
She starts
the movie like really down on her luck.
Oh yeah, okay. So it's kind of like a coming. We're just gonna cut all that out. Don't worry about that.
What were you gonna say?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Oh, here we go. All right, I got it. The wine's kicking in. So it's kind of like a Social Network situation where she like builds all her wealth throughout the film. Is that the thought?
Well, I think maybe instead of her dad, like she thinks her dad's gone. Her dad's gone from her life.
Uh-huh.
And there was rumors that her dad had this like massive amount of wealth, but it's like nowhere to be seen until we learned that Angelina Jolie's character is her mom.
Okay, Lincoln, you are treading on some dangerously interesting territory of like like a Lara Croft movie where she has to find her own treasure that belongs to her legally. I'm into that.
Yes. And so there's some sort of like the mom has just like taken this opportunity to seize the fortune and distance herself so much and like erase Lara Croft from like existence.
Oh, so that got it. I have it. And her dad hid her like birth certificate or something that proves that she's his and is.
It's got to be something specialer than that, like a special like stamp.
No. Sure, like a stamp, whatever. But some proof that she is his and that she is the rightful heir. It's like a new will that she's the rightful uh-huh. heir to that, and he hid that in like a temple of some sort. Knowing that she would come
she
find
would be
it.
The only one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Guys, I kind of want to watch that movie.
And so she has to. I think she has to. I like her crew, and I want her to find them in this movie.
I like that. That'd be fun. Yeah.
She finds Charlie Bucket's dad, who is
he's still working
by
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. That's who I was gonna say.
Perfect.
Great. I actually love Tom Holland as a side character.
He's like, for the first time ever. It'll be great. And her butler can be played by Will Poulter. Does that feel good? He played Adam Warlock. Is that?
Oh yes, perfect. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
And then, is there a love interest in this movie, or are we just gonna go? It's gonna be about friendship. Because those are two beautiful men that we're gonna put in close proximity.
Yeah, those are some pretty hot men.
I think no love interest.
I think it'd be kind of funny if it's just these like three beautiful people in the whole movie and there's like no sexual tension at all.
That.
They're just like
I'm
good,
very into
good
that.
Pals.
I'm into that too. That fits with the vein of this being just like the least sexual movie in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be something just absolutely hog wild, right? There has to be like...
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of magic.
Yeah. I mean, are we feeling good about the idea of like having to go... like into Mount Rushmore through the nose? That, I don't know. That's spoken to me in my life.
like vis-a-vis National Treasure?
I don't remember that scene in National Treasure.
They go to the back of Mount Rushmore. There's special stuff inside Mount Rushmore.
Not what I said, is it? I said through the nose, didn't I?
Through the... I'm trying to think. Yeah, how are we going to introduce something hog wild? Some sort of magic?
It's got to be like in some sort of tomb.
Yes, because there's a tomb.
I mean, can we reanimate her dad?
Can there be some feeling of... Can we have this special will be an alternate dimension that she has to like open a portal to?
Oh, we like that. Oh, we like that a lot, Lincoln.
That's the dimension that her dad is in, but she can't stay there because her real... like, and she has like a contact moment where... she kind of gets to reconcile things with her father. And then it's like, no, but I'm sending you back because you have more important work to do in the real world.
I'm into that.
Can we make this a crossover where
John Voight.
Her dad is Nicolas Cage and the alternate universe is National Treasure.
Her dad's Nicolas Cage. Done.
Oh,
done. 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 Done.
Yeah,
done.
Dude.
Done.
That's,
done.
Oh,
done,
that is
done.
Art. Book 'em, Dano. That's the one.
Oh yeah. Paul Dano's our casting agent.
Paul Dano. Book him, Paul Dano.
Actually, Paul Dano as the butler would be really funny.
Paul Dano as the butler would be very good. We still haven't figured out something super... like, there's the alternate dimension, but I need her to fight a monster. That's pivotal to me.
Yeah, we need like a good.
It has
like,
to be reanimated by very poorly animated oil flowing through cracks. That's honestly, it could be anything as long as it has that.
I've got it.
Go for it.
I have it. She has to go. She has to go through a maze and there's a minotaur.
Done.
It's that. I mean, it has to be that.
And it's like a stone minotaur. It's like like it's weirdly textured, like a dirt minotaur.
Yeah, or like a bunch of vines and weird stuff with it.
1000%. Love it.
Perfect. Beautiful. Wow, this is easy. Movies are easy. Have you guys ever thought about that?
Movies are so easy.
You ever thought about how easy movies are to make?
Man, so easy.
I think about that sometimes.
That's all I think about. I saw Dune Part 2 this weekend, and I was like, you know what? That looks really easy. Like, I could definitely just do that.
Yeah, that was my takeaway, too. It was just like, oh, yeah, who couldn't make this? Wow, I mean, is there more to that, or did we do it?
I feel like we've done it.
Oh, actually, there's one more thing. We have to end it. This movie didn't do it, but I feel like now we're in a different age. We have to end it in such a way that there's a tease toward future movies. So what's our, somebody shows up and is like, there's something you should know.
Oh, yeah. There's a guy with a fedora, and he walks by all of the Sinister Six costumes.
I don't think we can do that.
Oh, sorry. I mean, Dakota Johnson has a flash forward memory bump that takes them to a much better movie that we didn't get to watch.
I will say, if we just had a guy in a fedora walking through a lab of just other Lara Croft villains, and it's just some other guys all stuck in cages waiting to be released,
that's pretty good.
That'd be so good.
Okay, I think at the end we cross it over with Uncharted. And we have her meet Nathan Drake.
Okay, so Tom Holland can't be our...
No, he can't.
Our tech guy,
that's
then.
That's why Paul Dano is.
We're making Paul Dano the tech guy? That works for me. And Will Poulter is the... Yeah, okay. I feel it. I connect with this.
Love it.
Or Tom Holland is the tech guy, but it's been a disguise.
No, that doesn't... He would that. Never. Not the Nathan Drake I kind of know from that one time I saw the movie and forgot almost everything about it.
Did you know I just had the dumbest thought I've ever had in my entire life?
Well, that's a pretty high bar. Go ahead, though. Let's see.
So I think you both know that when we talk about movies, I often just will say, like, don't you wish this movie was made in this era and starred this actor?
Yeah, you say that. Prime? That's almost all of our group chat is that.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about Uncharted, and my brain literally went through the process. Don't you wish this movie was made in, like, the 80s and it starred Harrison Ford?
Hey, Lincoln, you were right. That might be the dumbest thought you've ever had.
And then it's like, oh, wait, those movies do exist. And they're excellent. Like, I was right.
And they're better than that would have been.
Good work. Strong work, Lincoln. We're proud of you. We're so proud of you.
You guys, I feel like there's a decent chance we end up doing that Uncharted movie in this podcast. I was just thinking about that. It would kind of surprise me if we didn't.
Well, now I have to pick a different movie.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, perfect timing.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, was that actually? No. Okay. Oh my. I got so excited. All right, Lincoln, can I guess why you chose this?
Yeah.
All right. I wrote down... I hate when I'm bound by source material to wear dumbass sunglasses and comically tight shirts. So I think that's why you chose this movie, is because I think that there's so many things in just throughout the whole thing that are just like, that had to be a reference to the game, because what are we doing here? Preston, do you have any guesses?
You know...
Preston, do you remember how we do this podcast?
I'm trying to think... I think Lincoln saw early 2000s movie with Angelina Jolie and saw the cover, and that was it. I think he read the back.
Ding, 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 ding.
I can see that.
And said, you know what? This seems like this would be the vibe.
He found this bitch for $1.99 at a Goodwill.
I did. Yes, that is
true. It was
true.
Upside down, and he just picked it up, and without seeing the title, read the back and said, you know what? I think this is the vibe.
Well, it also probably didn't hurt that he picked it up and he just heard from the heavens.
Well, what I heard from the heavens was, wow.
Wow, we got to watch this movie, see?
Well, the truth is I saw it at a used DVD, as a used bookstore, and I bought it like 4 months ago. And then I was like, you know what? It is a movie from the 2000s. I have it on DVD. I got to tell you, DVD is flattering towards early CGI. Like,
yeah, I bet it is.
You probably got a worse experience than me because it's just kind of smeared. Everything is smeared just smeared? A little bit.
Oh, I rented this bitch in 4K.
I hate that smeared is the correct term.
It really
so
is,
much,
though.
It's way too accurate and descriptive.
So, yeah, so I just had it in my collection, and I was like, you know, I kind of want an excuse to watch it and make you guys watch it. So
I love
that's
it.
What I did.
I love
Time
it.
Time for Equivalent Punishment. Which, actually, they're not. None of them can be too harsh.
I know.
I
it's like
he's not that
it's gonna
terrible.
It's going to be tough. You know what? This is the cinematic equivalent of middle school fries from the lunch line.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. This is the cinematic equivalent of drinking a fizzy water that's like a little too fizzy.
Ironically, it's also the cinematic equivalent of drinking a fizzy water that you left out for just a little too long and it's not fizzy enough.
And it's a little, yeah, it's not quite fizzy enough, but it's like totally worth, I guess it's like worth drinking.
100%
still.
Drinkable, but just not quite there.
This is the equivalent of taking a photo with your phone and thinking like that would be a pretty cool photo. And then you check it out later and you're like, that wasn't a very good photo.
This is the equivalent punishment of being the guy who walks around like your work or your school or wherever you're in life with that shirt, early to mid-2000s, that's got like the speaker in it and you've set it to your own thing and you think it's going to be so cool. And it's just, it's not cool, but everybody kind of looks at you funny.
This is a cinematic equivalent to having to walk to the store on a really windy day. But it's not like so windy as to make it not worth it to walk.
This movie is the cinematic equivalent of warming something up in the microwave and it not being quite warm enough, but you're not going to go back to the microwave and warm it up more.
I just love all our metaphors about these delicate balances between like disappointed but not devastated.
This is the cinematic equivalent of when Costco changed its really, really good turkey sandwich to just like a pretty okay ham sandwich.
Yeah. This is the cinematic equivalent to when you like excitedly call your friend and you're like, oh, hey, are you free today? Because you have something cool to show them. And they go, I'm not free today, but can we try sometime next week?
I feel slightly called out like that by that, but okay. This movie is the cinematic equivalent of somebody cooking you bacon, and it's not quite crispy enough, but it's still bacon, and it's still pretty good.
I think we really found the realm for these. Like, we've sort of landed in a place here that I'm comfortable with.
This is a cinematic equivalent to when you're like using like a pushpin and you accidentally poke it through like the very top layer of your skin. And you're like, this is going to bother me the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Okay, I think we found
it. So.
Well, thank you for listening to the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour.
Yeah.
It's
my turn to give you a movie to watch.
I'm so sorry, Preston.
Please.
I'm so sorry.
Movie for the next episode.
It's always a wild card with Preston.
Yep, it really is.
It really
you know,
is.
And this one in particular.
Oh, boy.
Your movie to watch is The Lost City.
I don't even know what
right,
I don't
exactly.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly, yeah. This movie came out in 2022. Starring
That's pretty recent. Preston.
Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Oh god. Oh, I know what this
I do
is
know
fucking
this movie.
God damn it, Preston. I know what this movie is. I already watched Argylle.
That is your movie. Homework. Yeah, there's no homework. I can't.
Preston never gives us homework.
I can't
He's like a cool substitute.
He's the coolest sub.
Can't break that
Especially
streak.
If you don't already have a good one.
Preston, just so you know, on the Wikipedia page, it says it got generally positive reviews from critics.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Preston, can I ask a question?
Now,
yeah, sure.
Now I'm more scared.
Have you seen this?
I have.
That's extremely. Ooh, ooh, can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, ooh, pick me, Mr. Substitute, me.
Yes.
Did your girlfriend make you watch this movie?
She didn't make me watch this. It was a decision.
She suggested it.
We made the decision together, okay?
It was a actually, you know what? Here's the thing. I actually suggested it because I read the description and said, "You know what? I think this might be a movie that appeases both of us." And it was
appeases.
Sort of correct.
Appeases. So I'm not sent to the cold box for the next 48 hours.
So I don't go back into solitary confinement. Please, no, anything but that. Anything but the punishment room. All right. Well, I'm excited to watch that movie.
Okay.
Okay.
You sound really excited. Well, this has been the Motrin Picture Retribution Power Hour, presented by
Did you say the Motrin Picture Retribution Power Hour?
Well, Preston, I don't know what the fuck you just said.
Well, when we watch a particularly terrible movie, only Motrin takes away the pain.
I knew we had a sponsor.
I don't know if we can say that, though.
We're
with Big Pharma now?
Yeah, we're with Big Pharma. The only movie podcast done by three guys on the internet, sponsored by Big Pharma.
The only movie podcast that encourages you to use some sort of drug.
Painkillers.
Alcohol
was
Lincoln,
not
take
enough.
Us out. Lincoln, take us out. It's your episode.
Thank you for listening to the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour. I have been Brother Lincoln.
I have been Brother John.
And I have been Brother Preston.
And I have been Rogue Jimmy Stewart, you fucking son of a bitch.
I just shot him. He's dead.
Oh, no, I'm dying over here. Please, somebody help me. You can't... Not while I'm in my prime.